If you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we do a lot of expository preaching, which just means verse by verse. I do try to make it interesting and not just all, but it keeps us with what's the context and what's all happening. But we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're down to verse 6 and 7. So verse 6 and 7, it says, "In these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" You know, I was thinking a lot of times kids play different games, and they have a lot of silly games, even games with their body parts. You know, a lot of times we take our hand and say, "My hand is a mouth." Or I always remember as a kid, my mom said, "I got eyes in the back of my head." You know, these are some silly games that we play. Now, moms may have eyes in the back of their head because they see everything and know everything. But we recognize that our hands have one set of strengths. Our hands have a different set of strengths. Our feet have a different set of strengths. And I think adults play the same silly game as well. It's a little different because we're talking about the body of Christ, and that is the church. Well, Paul writes later on in 1 Corinthians that each of us are a member of the body of Christ. And we all have different gifts. We all have different strengths. We all have different jobs to do. And if we were all one part of the body, then we wouldn't have all the other gifts. If we were all eyes, what can we do? If we're all feet, what can we do? And I think that's what Paul is talking about here in the beginning of verse 6 and 7. God gives every gift for building up the body, not for boasting. It's to build up the body of Christ. And the idea is that in the church, we have all these different gifts and parts of the body in order to fulfill what Jesus Christ has given to us. We are called to make disciples. We are called to serve one another, but we can't do that with all the same gifts. We need some who have gifts of hospitality. We need some who create a welcoming environment, make it feel like home. We need some that preach, some that counsel, some that encourage, some that exhort. And if we didn't have all those things, we would have a deformed body. My 3 points this morning in verse 6 and 7 is, number one, we have to be grounded in the Word. We have to be grounded in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul starts out, "I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit." We need to see what came right before it. Paul talks about all these things. He's going all the way back to chapter 3 where he listed out metaphors of ministers. He starts by saying that Paul and Apollos were farmers. Paul sowed the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but God gave the growth. Then in chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon." Paul laid the foundation of Jesus Christ, and Apollos has come along to build upon that foundation. This is what he's talking about. Verse 4:1 talked about being a servant. You think of the Apostle Paul. All that he could have called himself, and he calls himself a servant. Servants are that under rower we talked about last week, the lowest level of common sailors. They have one job. They can't modify it. They can't change it. They can't improve it. Their job is to just keep rowing. The Apostle Paul says he is a servant of Jesus Christ. And then he also said that they were stewards. We talked about that last week, being stewards in the mysteries of God, that those who dispense the provisions of a household, a master to the master's household, in this case, the mysteries of God, the dispensers of the Bible to the church. The Apostle Paul used all these metaphors to explain the role that him and Apollos have in the church. But why does he say this? The answer for why he has given us these metaphors has to do with what Paul has been writing since the beginning of this letter. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1 up till now, he compares human wisdom versus God's wisdom. God's wisdom looks nothing like the world's wisdom. God's wisdom isn't power. God's wisdom isn't eloquent speech. It's a man dying on the cross of Calvary. Him crucified. It's the power and the wisdom of Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross of Calvary. Paul and Apollos are simply people who preach the mystery of God. We talked about all those things last week. The rapture, the body of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies. Those are all part of the mysteries of God, and that's what he is revealing to the Corinthians. These two pastors that came to Corinth came and brought the word of God. The Corinthians were evaluating them. Many times they were two competing options of opponents according to the Corinthians, not between Paul and Apollos, but according to the Corinthians. Who do you fall behind? Do you fall behind Paul? Do you follow behind Apollos? And Paul is saying nothing is like that. The power of God is our master. We are servants. We need to be unified. We need to come together. We're all farmers. We're all construction workers. We're all servants. We're all stewards. We serve the King together in one mission. And the Apostle Paul here said, I have applied all these things to Apollos and I for the Corinthians, for us today. We're no different than the Corinthians. But he has done that for us. And he continues on in verse 6 there. He says, in these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself into Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. We need to be grounded in the Bible. We need to be grounded in the word of truth. Another version says that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. That you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. The Apostle Paul is talking about Scripture. We can't go out there in the world and find the truth. We can't go out there and look for something other than the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy. Jump over to 2 Timothy with me. Chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Apostle Paul is talking about scriptures. We can't go beyond scriptures. He even says in Romans 15:4, what is written aforetime is written for our learning. So anything written before the Apostle Paul, we can learn from, we can grow from. But what is written from Romans to Philemon, we can apply to our life. We can use in our everyday aspect. The Apostle Paul is not talking about some Facebook article that he wrote or some blog that he wrote or something that he has. He's talking about the Word of God. We have to get back into Scriptures. Now, Paul tells us how to interpret these passages, because what he writes before those passages, he says, for the wisdom of this world is folly with God. He says here in Corinthians 4:6 that he's written all of this so that we might learn not to go beyond what is written. He is telling us something specific from the text that he has been quoting. He says you don't get it. He's telling the Corinthians they don't get it. As much as you think you know, you don't get it. As much as you think that other people around you might have some idea from their own reasoning about the things of God, you don't get it. The only way that any human being can come to know the hidden things of God is from the wisdom of God. And it starts with giving your life to the Lord. It starts with putting your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the power of the Holy Spirit can help you understand Scriptures. We have to be grounded in the Word and not be presumptuous. You know, many times we've probably all sat under quite a few sermons, and after you've done it a while, it may feel like there should be more. Maybe you're looking for some spark, you're looking for something. I've heard this one before. I know where the pastor's going to go. He's probably going to go back to Jesus again. We sit there and listen, and we have all these thoughts. And if we are honest with our hearts, there is a part of us that presumptuously thinks, maybe I have it mastered. I'm looking for something more. Maybe I'm looking for something more than what is written in the Bible. We come Sunday after Sunday, and maybe there's more out there. There's not. It's all in the Word of God. It all comes from the Word of God. You know, many times our heart or our fleshly desire can jump out for something or look for something or want to have that feeling. You know, give me a nugget to have a happy marriage and a happy life and good finances, and just tell me how to live my best life now. I know I need the gospel for my long-term plan, but what about my short-term plan? We need to feed ourselves with the Word of God. Many times we put the Bible up on a shelf and we think we can just, I'm going to get through life. It hasn't worked the last three times I opened it. But all the answers are in the Word of God. Many times we try to replace the Word of God with other things. Maybe we start prizing the wisdom of this world more than the Word of God. Many times we can be poked by the world, poked by the news, poked by different things in our life that say, hey. And many times we're hearing it every single day. TV commercials and in the world and at Walmart and Target, wherever you go, you see different things that you know is not right. But we got to get back to the Word of God. And I think it goes back to our hearts. Is your heart ready? Is it ready for nourishing? Is it ready to hear the Word of God? Is it ready for encouraging? Is it ready for convicting? The Apostle Paul says, I've written these things about me and Apollos, about these pastors in your midst, so that you understand exactly what kind of job that we have and so that you embrace it. Look over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think you're there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting with verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. As farmers, pastors can plant and water, and God does the increase. As construction workers, we can build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and there is no other foundation. As servants and stewards, we are under strict orders to share the Word of God, to tell others about the Word of God. It says, preach the Word. But there will be times that people don't endure sound doctrine. We've got to get back to Scripture. We've got to get back to the Word of God. Look at Acts 17:11. I challenge each and every one of you. We all need to be in the Word of God, not just me, not just everybody needs to be in the Word of God. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Here it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. When you walk in here each and every Sunday, you need to be ready. You need to pray to be ready. But as you leave here, you need to go home and study the scriptures yourself. There's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing I can do. I can present it. I can share it. I can read scripture. And I pray that everything I say from the pulpit is honest to God's truth. There's probably something up here that I'm tweaking a little bit differently than I should be. But it's your job to go home and bring it back to the next Sunday and say, hey, can we discuss this? I would love to discuss it. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But we've got to study the Word of God. We've got to be in Scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. Verse 6, he continues on. And he says, in these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. We need to be gracious one to another and not puffed up. None of us have any issues with this whatsoever. This is an easy one. You know, the idea of being puffed up is just like what it sounds like. You puff out your chest a little bit and you think you're all that and a bag of chips. Because of that, you pridefully divide yourselves from other people in the church. We divide ourselves among each other. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. They were so divisive. They were separating each other. They were causing division. Apollos and Paul, or what's this or what's that? Yes, we need to dig down into doctrine. We need to understand doctrine. We need to be truth when it comes to the Word of God. But sometimes we can go too far with it. Sometimes we can take it because of our arrogance or our pride. We think we have all the answers and we're dividing ourselves. You know, a lot of people are saying I'm in this camp and other people are saying that I'm in that camp. And Paul is saying that worldly wisdom has so infected you that you don't even see it anymore. The world has blinded you. We need to be united. We need to come together. Look at James chapter 3. It's a good passage of this. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If we are truly united by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we are truly united by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under the authority of God's word. If we are grounded in the Bible, this will reject us. This will lead us to reject this sinful idea that we can separate ourselves from one another. It will instantly lead us into the idea that we have to be live peaceably, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits. Seeking a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The world's wisdom is fundamentally divisive. He continues on in verse 7, "For who maketh thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that didst not receive? No, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" He asks a rhetorical question here. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? You know, later on and towards the end of Corinthians, Paul is going to say there are a ton of differences among you, but right here he's saying there are no differences. We're in the body of Christ. We're believers in the body of Christ. Later on, he talks of some of your eyes, some of your ears, some of your hands. There are a lot of differences, but your differences, something that distinguishes you as superior to your neighbor. What Paul is confronting is this idea that I'm superior because of this or that. Just because I'm the pastor here does not make me superior over any of you. A lot of you are smarter than me when it comes to the Word of God. I wish I could get some of you up here to share with us. But it doesn't make me superior. Maybe your job is to encourage. Maybe it's your job to invite. Maybe it's your job to be here. But it is your job to study the scriptures. It is your job to bring questions. But that's what Paul is confronting here. Why do you have what you did not receive? What gifts do you have that you didn't receive coming down from a good gift from the Father of lights? Have you come to this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what a great person you are? None of us deserve salvation. How can you put yourself above anyone else when you don't deserve what you have received? Even your talents, even your gifts, whatever it is. I see it all the time in sports figures. You know, you have one person that says, "Look at me, look at me, look at me." And another person say, "It was all because of what Jesus Christ has given to me." He says, if you then received it, why do you boast? Why do you become confident and arrogant and self-centered as if you had not received it? Why do you think that you are the center of all of this? Do you not recognize what Jesus Christ was given to you? And the fact that Jesus Christ has given you yourself is an act of God's grace to the church. It's impossible for us to be prideful. It's impossible for us to be boastful. It's impossible for us to be arrogant. To me, all of us at one point were blind, ignorant of God's wisdom, ignorant of the truth. How is your heart this morning? Have you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know, we can cultivate a life of gratitude. You know, I think there's many times in life that Christians forget we can be grateful. You know, we think life is all miserable. Life is terrible. I have to sacrifice everything. God wants us to be upset or sad or disappointed. To me, especially here in America, we have it made. We should cultivate a life of gratitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." If you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I hate to tell you, but you never have to come back to church again. You never have to give to the church again. You don't have to do anything. If you give your life to the Lord, go home and study Scripture. Go home and read the Word. Go home and learn about what He has done for you. You will have eternal life in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that just this letter that you gave to the Corinthians, that you tell us that we need to be in the Scriptures, that we need to be grounded in the truth, that we need to study Scripture, that we need to be Bereans and go home and study. It tells us not to be puffed up one against the other. I'm no different than anybody in here. I'm no different than the unbeliever. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I just thank you for that. And again, when we can get past and realize that we've done nothing for these talents, for these gifts, even for salvation, I have done nothing. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve you, but you have done it all. You went to the cross to pay for our sins, to give us an opportunity. And what a burden that should lay on us to share the gospel with others. At one point, we were blind. We didn't have salvation. We didn't understand it. But we can come today and understand the truth of the gospel. And we pray in your precious Son's name.